Hey guys, before we start this interview, I want to let you guys know I'm doing private and group coaching on Instagram. So if this is something that interests you, if you feel stuck on Instagram or you don't know where to take it, shoot me a message on Instagram at ray.on and I'll get back to you guys with a reply on just more of the details of this program. And I've had 2 years of experience in this space. I've grown hundreds of thousands of followers, and I've also even taught in Ty Lopez's social media agency course. So if you know Instagram's a platform you're really trying to utilize, shoot me a message at ray.on. I'll get back to you guys on the program. So thanks guys for listening and let's get on with this interview.
Like I said, I've always been a high achiever. And if you're always achieving so highly, then you don't know what it's like to just sort of be normal. And you think that people expect you to keep achieving at such a high level. And you think that's what people like about you. Whereas when you actually step back and realize that, you know, people don't like you for your achievements. They like you for who you are as a person. But if you never stop achieving, then you don't know that for sure.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, on this episode, I talk with Sarah Rav, who's an Instagram influencer with over a million followers. On her personal Instagram, Sarah Rav, and a collective network of over 2 million followers in the food and fitness space. And we talk about her journey of how she was able to build such a massive following, even as a med student. And we also talk about some personal things that Sarah shares, things that she's had to personally overcome, like mental health, being a high achiever, having to put out a perfect image on social media, you know, so that people would think that she's always fit and perfect. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all human beings. We all struggle with things. And now she's using her social media presence to, you know, share her struggles, to share with people that it's okay to share about things like mental health or things that you're struggling with personally. And at the end of the day, the people who really matter are the ones who care for you, regardless of your following or what you have to offer them. And so, you know, I hope you guys are inspired, empowered to share your own story, your own struggles, whether it's with a family, friend, or even if it's just with Sarah or myself on Instagram, and we could just chat with you guys. And yeah, just know that you're able to make a difference no matter what you're going through, and that all your struggles are so that you could help someone else with the struggles that they're going through as well. So I hope you guys are able to take away some good nuggets of wisdom from this. And also, like I said, if you guys are interested in coaching on Instagram, send me a message on Instagram at ray.on to apply for my private and group coaching. I'll send you guys a message back. So thanks guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Sarah. Hey Sarah, welcome to the interview, and I want to give a quick background of who you are to my audience. And you're a 20-year-old medical student, and you live in Australia. And you know, yeah, you have a network on Instagram of about 2.6 million followers. And yeah, you know, you built all this, you know, while you're going to school and all that. And I just kind of want you to give a little bit of background of kind of where you're from and just a bit of background about you.
Okay, well, yeah, so I was born actually in Malaysia, and I moved to Melbourne, Australia when I was 5 with my family. And I guess ever since I was young, I've just been really sort of into like health and fitness and stuff. And I guess that's sort of where the idea for my Instagram came about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is your Instagram called for those who don't know?
My fitness page is Sarah Rav. So Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Rav, R-A-V. And I've got another one because I'm really into food as well, which is called Tasty Hub with a dot in between Tasty and Hub.
Yeah, so you built all these pages, and how long did it take to build this network?
I started my fitness page in year 9, which is about 6 years ago. But I guess it was always more of a hobby up until about when I started uni, which is 3 years ago. And so that's been, yeah, so that's been going for 6 years. But I started Tasty Hub about 1.5 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. And so you just basically tell us like how, you know, so you're, you know, how it just got started from the beginning, like why you decided to start this page and
how you were able to take it to where it is today.
Yeah. So with Sarah Rav, like I said, I've always been super, super into fitness. Like really, as a child, I was always, you know, swimming, diving, cheerleading, all that stuff, ballet, dancing. And then when I got into my teens, I got really, really into strength training at the gym. And so I guess one day in year nine, when Instagram was sort of just starting to become popular, a friend of mine suggested that I start a fitness Instagram page to motivate the rest of the girls in the class and in my year level. And so that's what I did. I started that and I just posted, you know, like random stuff that I found, motivational quotes, you know, tips, workout advice, transformations, and it just sort of blew up from there.
And kind of where did you develop your passion for fitness? Why did that happen?
I guess, like as a child, I was really into sports. And then as I grew older, I got sort of sick of competing with other people. And I sort of just wanted to focus on myself. That's why I got into strength training. And I just really liked how it's sort of just you do it for yourself. Definitely that post-workout feeling as well, but also being able to come back week after week and like see yourself, not really like feel yourself getting stronger, being able to lift more, being able to, you know, run further, that sort of stuff. Yeah. Mm. It's sort of like you're competing against yourself. And like, I guess, you know, when you have really good music, that helps as well. And you kind of just get into the zone and everything. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite songs you listen to?
You're going to judge me so hard. When I'm at the gym, I listen to like One Direction and like Justin Bieber. And, like,
see how that can motivate you, but.
there's a bit of like, you know, like Chainsmokers and like some stuff like that, but it's so poppy. Like it's all just pop, 100%.
And, you know, I know, you know, you also have a story behind why you're into fitness. Like you had the time when you were like very skinny, right? Was that by choice or was it a condition? Or?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess one of the drawbacks of being super into fitness is you get really well versed in like what's supposedly good for you and what's bad for you, what foods are good for you, how much you should be eating and everything. And so I guess I sort of took that to the extreme and I got really, really restrictive with my food and like my food. And I guess I got sort of like, I got the wrong ideas about what I was allowed to eat and what I wasn't allowed to eat. And since I was doing so much exercise and limiting my food intake so much, I lost like a ton of weight. So much so that I pretty much like put my own life in danger. So at my lowest, I was 30 kilos with a BMI of 10. And that was when I was diagnosed with an eating disorder.
What were some of the thoughts you were battling with?
Yeah, it was never really about losing weight. It was more just about sort of doing what I thought was right. So, you know, I thought, you know, I wasn't allowed to have ice cream because that would make me less of a person. Or if I went out for pancakes, I was a failure. Or, you know, if I missed the gym or if I became out of shape, that would make me sort of less likable as a friend or, you know, less sort of as a role model. And so I go, those are the really like dangerous thoughts and like the all or nothing sort of thoughts that contributed to that.
Yeah, so like you created stories about yourself?
Yeah, like misconceptions about myself, just that like people respected me or people were friends with me because they thought I was this like super like fit, healthy person and that and doing anything apart from that would make them not like me or would make me less of a likable person, I guess. Yeah.
And why did you have those thoughts?
I don't know. I guess it's just sort of, like I said, I've always been a high achiever. And if you're always achieving so highly, then you don't know what it's like to just sort of be normal. And you think that people expect you to keep achieving at such a high level and you think that's what people like about you, whereas when you actually step back and realize that, you know, people don't like you for your achievements, they like you for who you are as a person. But if you never stop achieving, then you don't know that for sure.
So yeah, like as someone who has gone through, you know, feelings of, I guess your self-worth is tied to your fitness in a way.
Yeah.
You know, now you have like this platform where you influence a lot of people, like millions of people about fitness. So how are you using this platform now to reach those people?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the start, like I said, I focused a lot on weight loss transformations and stuff like that and, you know, like diet tips and everything. But I sort of tried to shift it more to a holistic, like self-acceptance, self-love approach. So I'm posting a lot more of what I think. I'm trying not to focus on appearance. I'm trying to focus on, you know, strength, on what the body can do and everything, and just sort of posting pictures that can help people appreciate what they have going for them rather than aspiring to be something they're not. And the other thing I'm trying to do is share my own story with my followers, you know, what I've gone through, how I'm trying to change my own mindset and still trying to do that because, you know, I'm not there yet, and what I've been doing to regain the weight. And also finally, just like, I just want to open the conversation about mental health because there is, and I'm sure like there's a huge stigma surrounding mental health disorders. And I think that honestly just needs to be eradicated because as terrible as it is having to suffer from something like an eating disorder or something from depression, it's just like 100% more horrible if you're scared of telling anyone about it. If that makes sense. So like I was so scared to tell my friends and my family what I had, like, you know, I made up lies about it. I was like, oh, I'm just sick. I have a cold, or, you know, oh, I can't come to uni because I've got something else. And that really just makes the recovery that much harder if you are just too scared to talk about it. So I'm just trying to emphasize, you know, like having a mental illness is literally nothing to be ashamed of, and it can affect like anyone, like your high achievers, your social media influencers, everything. And so, yeah.
So how have your fans reacted to you sharing about this?
I mean, during the weight loss, like a lot of my followers picked up on it. You know, even before I came out open about it, people were commenting, oh, you look really thin, or, oh, you don't look healthy and everything. And that, I guess, helped a lot. But what I found now is that now that I'm open about it, actually, people are so willing to just offer their support, offer their encouragement. And it's actually, I'm actually really, I guess I feel kind of stupid thinking that, or, you know, being scared about being honest about it from the very beginning, because actually the support has just been overwhelming and everyone just seems really happy to see me sort of get better and really open to accepting that I have it, and like there's no judgment whatsoever.
So do you want people to message you if they have mental health issues?
Yeah, essentially, like I always encourage them to reach out to me because like if I can, you know, if I not, I don't want to say save a life, but you know, if I can help at least one person sort of seek help to recover, then technically like it's all worth it.
Why is that so important to you?
I don't know. I guess like I just like maybe that's why I've always wanted to be a doctor. I just want to help other people. And like I don't care how much shit I've gone through, as long as it's worth, I'm happy to go through like hell and back as long as it helps someone else, if that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know why that's it's just important to me. Like I care more about other people than I care about myself. Like I feel like I've been really lucky, and so I don't really need anything, so I'm happy to just help other people with what they need.
What were some of your hardest struggles in life to shape who you are today?
Well, obviously, like this whole big, like eating disorder thing, that was a huge thing for me, having to sort of realize that my thinking was disordered and that I should sort of change my mindset. That was a big thing.
Is there like a story you have that kind of shows how hard that time was for you?
I can't really think of just one story. It's sort of just a whole big thing, I guess. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to pinpoint.
The most memorable one?
I guess uni, because I'm in med school and it's a really high intense course sort of thing. The uni actually told me to take time off, and it was sort of like they didn't tell me. They were like, you have to take time off. because you're sick and you need help. And so that sort of really put it into perspective for me. And so I spent like 8 weeks away from uni, and it was just literally just me for like force feeding myself, because I thought that if I looked better, then they would let me back. But in the actual sense, but then I guess you sort of real like, and I say force feeding, like I was eating until I was pretty much like full, like I like almost like about to throw up, but obviously I had to keep it in. But then I just, but like at the end of that, you know, even though I had put on all this weight, I realized like that's not what's going to get me back to uni. What's going to get me back to uni is that I need to change my mindset, and I need to let this stop controlling me. And so that was even harder than like force feeding myself. And so, you know, I had to work on that. I had to, I guess, like I do these like challenges, I guess. So like, you know, start eating the foods that had scared the crap out of me for ages, you know, go out for pancakes, go out for donuts, go out for hamburgers, like burgers. And like that sounds like, I guess to a normal person that sounds like, oh my God, that sounds so cool. Like that sounds awesome. You can like just eat whatever you want because you have to gain weight. But like to me, it was actually like, terrifying, if that makes sense. Because like, yeah, I hadn't done it in so long and it just scared the crap out of me. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's sort of one of it.
So what created that fear in you all of a sudden? Like where did it come from?
Yeah, well, like I said, just I guess just years of like, being so into health and fitness. And then again, it sort of comes back to that like high achieving thing. It's like everybody knows me for, you know, going for the salad instead of going for the pancakes when we go out for lunch. And then it's like, well, what if I choose the pancakes? And then they think, oh, she's not that healthy. Oh, she's not, you know, she's not that good at sticking to a diet. Oh, you know, she's not that perfect, I guess.
So it was fear of people's judgments, basically.
Yeah, it was definitely 100% fear of losing that image that I had of, like, perfection. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And so you said that changing your mindset was harder than first feeding yourself. Like, what were some of the ways you changed that mindset?
Well, yeah, like I said, I guess sort of opening up, like kind of just adventuring with foods that I had been too scared of in the past. And, you know, like after you have like a plate of pancakes, it's actually like, oh, well, hang on, the world didn't explode. You know, I'm not any less of a person. My friends and family still love me. You know, I'm still... I guess like I'm still smart, I'm still doing med, like all that stuff. I still have everything going for me. So that really helped as well. So sort of just like, you know, like making myself face the food that I feared. The other thing is not going to the gym and realizing that, yeah, again, it didn't make me any less of a person. And finally, I think just spending time with friends, because like when you actually spend time with them, you realize that, yeah, they're not friends with you just because of my marks or because of my Instagram or because of how good I am at going to the gym and sticking to a diet. It's like they actually like me for more than that, and that really sort of helps you let go of all that restriction.
Yeah, for you, sir, as you got bigger, I'm sure there are people who wanted to be friends with you just for your following, but it's awesome that you know who your true friends are.
Yeah, like I do, I am very wary of like people who kind of just want to be friends with me for my following, or people that kind of just want to be featured on my Instagram and stuff like that. But especially going through this past year and what I've been through, you know, you sort of realize who your true friends are. And I sort of cut out the friends that were only sort of there when I was on a high, if that makes sense. Like, I've sort of realized that there were friends who were just there when I was taking them to brunch, or when I was shouting everybody free drinks, or when I was, you know, and when I was sharing my notes and everything. But then there are also the friends who were there when I was in the hospital by myself, crying my eyes out, when I was, you know, sitting at dinner and I just was scared of what was in front of me, and like friends who were there when I was alone and they would just call me up and say, hey, do you want to just hang out and just do nothing? Just, I don't want you to be alone. So, you know, I sort of cut out the friends that were just there when everything was going well and sort of gotten really, really close to the friends who were there when it wasn't.
Yeah, so where do you see this going for you?
I don't know. I get asked that a lot. You know, like I get asked, like, do you want to do Instagram as a full-time job? But for me, the end goal has always been med, and that's not going to change. I mean, I really do like doing what I do on Instagram, and like it's a really nice job, but I've always just wanted to get into theatre. I've just wanted to help people, you know, be a GP. So I honestly don't know what where it's going to go with the Instagram. I guess it'll just always sort of be like a side hobby for me.
Have any of your fans sent you a moving message based on the things you share with them on social media?
Like I got, actually one of my friends, well, I guess not really friends, just like somebody on Instagram commented, like sent me a DM, and they said that their daughter was going through sort of a really tough time with regards to like sort of like weight, self-image and everything. And they showed their daughter my Instagram account and my recovery, and apparently that sort of inspired their daughter to get help and start her on the path of recovery. And I don't know why, it was just that story in particular that really like got to me. Like I get heaps of DMs, you know, about people who are saying like, oh yeah, you've inspired me to get help. But like, it was just that one. And it was just maybe because it was the mother who messaged me, and it was just, she was just like, so like, I could feel how worried she was about her daughter and like how relieved she was after her daughter got help. So I don't know, maybe because it was her mother's emotion that really got to me as well. And I was just like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Have you messaged that girl, or has that girl messaged you yet?
I've mostly just made contact through the mother. I don't think her daughter has Instagram. But yeah. So
how did she see your recovery then?
Her mother showed her through her mother's Instagram. If that makes sense. Yeah. So her mother just showed her the photos.
Wow.
But like, yeah, the mother still constantly like keeps me updated and everything, which is really nice.
Wow, that's so you. I mean, you, I guess you did save a life, basically.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there were many other factors as well. But like, you know, if I helped a little bit, then yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I want to acknowledge you for having done that for someone. You know, like you get to, you know, allow yourself to receive that. This is the result of what you put out into the world. You know, this is a result of like what your content and what your, you know, being genuine has done for someone. So yeah, acknowledge you for that. And yeah, I guess, you know, like it's crazy how fast you've grown. You said, you've grown, when you've taken it seriously, you've grown a lot faster. Do you have like tactics you've used, or I guess tips to people on how to grow or whatever?
Yeah, like I guess, yeah. So like 2 years ago, I pretty much discovered like how, because I think like Instagram sort of changed the algorithm a couple of years ago, and so people with big followings weren't sort of getting onto the Explore page as much because it was just like, they were just being pushed down. So I discovered around then like how power likes work. And so I work with like a lot of my friends and stuff on Instagram, and we sort of like and comment on each other's posts just to offer our support and, you know, boost engagement. And I think that helps with sort of like the visibility of the posts. Helping each other out, just liking and commenting and saving and stuff like that. And of course, I guess it also just comes down to good content. Like, nobody's going to want to follow you if you're not posting high quality content that either provides useful information or that provides motivation. Because, yeah.
You know, so you said you've been using Instagram to address mental health. And I think I kind of respect you for that too, because mental health, like, it hasn't been talked about a lot. People don't really.
Yeah. It's like, it's very hard to share because it makes, I guess, people think that it makes them look weak. Like, on Instagram, all your social media influencers, they just want to post about the highlights of their life. You know, they don't want to post about when they're upset, when they don't want to get out of bed, when they miss a day at the gym. And I guess mental health sort of comes into that. Like, you know, oh, I'm, it's just, they feel, I guess a lot of people feel like it's a weakness when in actual fact, you can't help it. And like, it's not, it's like the same as breaking a leg. Like that is no way, like, I mean, that is not any more your fault than suffering from depression or suffering from an eating disorder. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, yeah, you literally cannot help it. It is not your fault. It's just your circumstances and everything.
Yeah, like, there were times, like, for me, I thought, like, I had anxiety and depression. Like, when,
yeah.
I, when I was in high school, and just, like, nothing would make me happy. You know, even like during the, like every day I go to school and just dread it and be like, why, am I doing this every day? And then like,
yeah, that's not,
yeah. And like, I'm not even happy. Like, I know I'm not going to be happy, you know,
yeah,
at the end of today. So why am I going through this day? You know? So it's just kind of those depressing thoughts. And, but you know, yeah, over time I was able to get out of it.
That's really, like, how did you manage to, yeah, how did you manage to sort of pull yourself out of that?
Yeah, so for me, you know, I kind of just, I guess for me, I came to a point where I knew I couldn't bring happiness just out of myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I turned to, like, God and stuff like that. But, you know, even times when I would pray, like, I wouldn't feel, you know, I wouldn't feel perfect, obviously, but I think a lot of what helps is self-care. And, you know, a lot of times I had anxiety and nervousness, but when I go work out or when I go play basketball, yeah, like it leaves, or like, you know, doing something physical helped me,
yeah,
get out of that that stagnant mindset. And
yeah, definitely. I think, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, depression is a really complex thing, but I guess, like, definitely a way to pull yourself out of it if you feel that you're in a slump is just to do something, sort of. And it doesn't have to be anything amazing. It just has to be, you just have to sort of like keep yourself busy sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Is there, yeah, anything you do personally that helps?
Well, I, yeah, seeing friends is just, that is honestly the best thing I find. But also, like, when I'm feeling sort of like, oh, it's kind of a shit day, I'm kind of in a shit mood, sometimes even just studying and just feeling like I've done something, like I've gotten something done, I've ticked something off the list, that really helps as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, but I think honestly friends are the biggest, and you know when you have the right friends, because they're happy to just come over and chill and just do nothing with you but just be there with you, and it makes a huge difference. Yeah,
yeah, you know, I like how you pointed that out, like people who would just be there with you even if there's no agenda or things to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't have to go out to a party. You don't have to go out for food. You can just chill in your pajamas at home and just talk about whatever, or just even in silence sometimes. It's just, you know, like comforting being with someone, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Especially for you too, because you have like, you have the following, and then you want to make sure you know who the real people are. So, yeah, I mean, like, for those who want to get into social media, pursue their passion, I'm sure, like, there's people who see what you do and they're like, man, I wish I could be doing that, you know? Like, do what I love and post about what I love and make money. So what can you say to those who are interested to get into it?
Yeah, I say 100% pursue your passion. Like, if you want to get into social media, 100% do it. Like, it's not easy. You're not going to become famous overnight, but if you actually have something that you're passionate about and something that you believe other people would be interested in seeing, then it is definitely 100% worth it as well, because the opportunities are going to be endless, and you might actually find that instead of being stuck in like a medial 9-to-5 job that you hate, you could instead be living the life that you've always dreamed of, you know, doing what you're passionate about, pursuing your hobbies, and then being paid to do it.
Mm.
It's sort of just, it all comes down to your passion. And if you are passionate enough, if you are determined enough, then you can do it. Like, yeah, anyone can do it, I guess.
And you said you did this while you were in med school, right? Or while you were going to school?
Yeah, like I've been doing this. Yeah, so, you know, you don't have to give everything up. I've been doing this. I've been running my Instagram since, you know, like all throughout high school, all throughout year 11, year 12, which is like, I guess, the most important years of your schooling. And then throughout first year med and second year med. And during that time, I was also tutoring like 40 hours a week. So I was working like a full-time job. I was doing med and I was doing the Instagram. So like you can definitely do it. Yeah. You don't have to give up your whole life for it. It's just, you just have to do it sort of smart, I guess. Yeah, no.
If you told someone that you're doing all that and you built a following, they'd be like, you're crazy. Like, how would you have enough time? You know?
Yeah. Look, I didn't sleep a lot during that time, but yeah.
But all that sacrifice led to, you know, you having this platform now and following, you know, it's crazy. So kind of want to wrap it up now with the interview, but I guess the last question would be, you know, what would you have told your younger self if you could go in time? Tell yourself a piece of advice that you wish you would have had.
Yeah, I would probably tell her two things. So one, I would tell her stop caring so much about what people think of you and just, you know, do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. Don't worry about creating this perfect image. And, yeah, because obviously that's what got me into all of this in the first place. And then secondly, I would tell her that she made the right choice, as in I made the right choice, to stay true to myself and not sell myself out. Because obviously, you know, with my following, I get heaps of offers, but I've refused to work with brands that I don't agree with, that, you know, wanted to change my image, that was promoting something I don't believe in. And I think that has really just helped me present as a genuine person and show that I actually really care about my followers and their health rather than just making sales or money. Like, you can offer me however much you want, but if I don't believe in it and if I don't think that it's going to help anyone, then I'm not going to promote it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so just being genuine to yourself and like caring what people think.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. And so, yeah, I want to, you know, thank you, Sarah, for taking the time to do the interview. And where can people follow you or link up with you?
Sorry?
Where can people follow you or find out more about you?
Yeah, well, if you just want to head to my Instagram, I mean, it's just Sarah Raab, S-A-R-A-H-R-A-B. If you want to know, if you want to talk to me one-on-one, send me a DM, send me an email. My email's in my bio. And I'm more than happy to help out. I'm more than happy to talk to you. Like, I have time for everyone. Just shoot me a message. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And, yeah, I want to, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing to, like, help people. You're helping a lot of people and probably more people than you even know, you know.
Well, that's the goal. So if I can do that, then that's awesome. Yeah, that's all I can ask for, really.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for sharing and being vulnerable. And like she said, you guys can follow her at Sarah Raab on Instagram, S-A-R-A-H-R-A-V on Instagram. And also me as ray.on, ray.ahn. So, yeah, thank you, Sarah, so much.
Thank you for, interviewing me. And just thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
So hope you guys enjoyed that interview, Sarah. Hope it was really impactful and that you understand that, you know, no matter how many followers you have, we all have issues. We all have things we struggle with, and it's okay to be open and sharing that with people, that you don't have to keep it in all into yourself, and that you can make a difference too through the way that you choose to overcome your struggles and deal with them. So yeah, please leave a review of this podcast if this has helped. Share with your family and friends. And also, like I said, if you're interested in that private group coaching on Instagram, feel free to shoot me a message. I'll get back to you guys on that. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you guys on the next episode.